Colin Cullis with Business Unusual. Was that unkind?
A little, because a little bit like MP3s, MP3s didn't kill CDs or vinyl. You lot more publishing. So the electronic book world has more publishers now. Thankfully, more readers. More readers means you can have published books, and I'm pretty sure
that was
that's the story you'll find.
No, I'll stand chastised.
I mean, Video Killed the Radio Star would be the old one, and you know, it's just not true.
Now, listen, I'm a guilty parent. I put my hand up now with my children and say to me, oh, Dad, can I just play a game on your phone? Just 2 minutes, just a quick game on your phone. I just want to play a game on your phone. Please, can I play a game on your phone? Invariably, I'm going to say, no, you can't play a game on my phone because it's a waste of time. We're having dinner. We are climbing a mountain. Whatever it might be, we are not playing games right now. I'm doing them out of a future job, and that's devastating to me.
Well, no, maybe you're not in that context, and this is, I'm using this as a bit of a stretch, but it's Business Unusual, not business, of course. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
And it is looking at how games potentially can save us from this recession, some people, and help children get jobs in the future. And let's start then frame that up a little bit. So it's kind of understood that the innovations and the disruptions are going and moving faster than the educational sector is. And it's also fair to say that we can now see industries and jobs that people are being hired for that didn't exist 10 years ago when they might have been able to be trained for them. It's fair to say that in the next 10 years, things haven't been created yet that we would want to have people take part in. Likewise, we can also see that there's just not going to be enough jobs because of automation and these sorts of things for the amount of people that might want them in the future. Mm-hmm. So the purpose for this evening was to have a look and say, well, what's the best thing you can do for your kids and for your business that'll help you make sure you get the most out of the staff or the chance for your child to get a job? Because the unemployment rates, they aren't looking on very good. So the sector I'm looking at, that's kind of educational software, is the big thing, and the specific one is called economic simulation software. And the best version I can offer for that one is a game called Minecraft.
Economic simulation software.
Yeah.
Minecraft. It is a series of blocks that make no sense on a screen.
Yeah, very low-tech looking little blocky thing. You dropped into this world and you have your hand. You get to go and punch something, punch a tree. And then you keep punching things and you see what you can do with those trees. You can spend all day. It's an enormous, enormous world and there's all sorts of materials. And when it was first launched, and there's something about this, actually. Maybe it's worth more. What is it with the Scandinavians and modular construction? Because I didn't think of it at the time, but you got Lego. That's the Danes, right? You got IKEA. That's the Swedish.
Yeah.
And Minecraft, digital Lego from the Swedish as well. They really have taken this one concept and turned it into massive businesses. So the principle of this game, given that it's completely open world for children and adults, gives them the opportunity to go and create things, craft things. And a lot of games, it follows this sort of linear thing. You've got to save the princess. You've got to do whatever else. You've got to kill the baddie. This one doesn't. It says, well, what can you do with a piece of wood? Well, if you chop your wood and make sticks, you put your sticks together with a piece of rock, you can make a pickaxe, and in the pickaxe, you can chop things. And so the whole game's through to some quite sophisticated sort of opportunities. And it's that element about the game, which I'm suggesting, is the skills that children and us will need in the future. Machines can do things very efficiently and very effectively, but they're not very good at saying, how would you solve a problem that we haven't conceived yet? And this is what this thing is about. Either on your own or collaboratively or in a competitive mode where you're challenging somebody else. And so this is kind of the basis for why I wanted to have a look at it. And they've got some really amazing things that fits in for how they go. The game only launched commercially in 2011. Did fantastically well, so much so that Microsoft said, oh, we'll have that. 2014, they bought it for $2.5 billion, making the creator nice and happy, and he can go and live his life and do whatever he likes. And it's now become the most successful PC game ever, 120 million plus counting things. And it's only, when I say most successful PC game, and it's the second most successful video game ever. Number one, Tetris, which kind of maybe makes sense for some people.
What do you mean, some people? It's fantastic.
Well, it's on that basis, and I suppose Tetris has that same sort of like, how will I do this thing? But why will this Minecraft then help you? Well, let's have a look at some of the regions where people have put it to good use. So because you can build anything, and some people have built amazing-looking things, you might even describe them as artworks. There's one company called Blockworks, and they are commissioned to make art, which they then print out and you put into coffee table books, or people just want to have this beautiful construction created for them in that world. Some brands do the same thing. So you want to see if Star Wars exists in Minecraft and all these other brands? Yes, they do, to great effect. And as a consequence of people showing off their creativity, and you were recently discussing YouTube, 100 million plus videos exist on YouTube of people showing off what they've done. And some of them...
100 million videos on YouTube...
About a game.
About a game called Minecraft.
Correct.
Oi,
and okay. Some of those videos with over 150 million views. So this is very popular. I saw one report said that Minecraft is more popular than cats on YouTube. But I couldn't verify that, and I wasn't going to go and check all 100 million plus videos. So this is where it is in terms of popularity, but that still sounds a little sort of like, so what? Well, trust the Danes. They've taken their geographical mapping data for the entire country and put it in Minecraft. You can walk around Denmark on a real scale version of the country. And their purpose for that wasn't just because they could do it. They actually want to get communities, and in this case, children, that's what they did it for, to understand how spatial planning works, city improvements, and what makes good sense. And bringing it closer to home, the UN themselves have got a project called Block by Block. And a few years ago, Johannesburg used Minecraft to get the people, and I must get this right, it's East Street North Park in Johannesburg. And they weren't quite sure what to do with this particular park space. So they put various options in Minecraft for people to go and walk around in and say, what
like
if you put
this.
The football field here? Or this is going to cast a funny shadow, or that kind of stuff. Now, the thing about it being simple little blocky is fancy computer-aided design CAD programs, the big fancy things that proper architects would use, feel a little intimidating, not quite sure what to do. But this feels like a game. You wander around there, no problem. And so people are more likely to give you some feedback or maybe try and make their own. And you get a lot more participation happening in those sorts of spaces. So for future development of cities, that's a great option. And there is a whole version created specifically for education. And so you might find different teachers using it for different things. But let's say, for example, somebody's trying to do a language lesson, and you've got to go wandering around the Minecraft planet, digging out words or looking for specific uses of phrases or references
to
books.
It's all fine and fun and interesting, but how is it going to help me one day find a job in this new terrifying world where the job I might have 20 years from now hasn't been created yet?
Well, the best indicator we've got for the kind of industries that will remain, that the machines won't take jobs for, are the ones where we have to creatively conceive or problem solve. You see, computers are great at replicating better solutions with sets of known data, but they're not so good at saying, what about the vehicle we haven't invented yet? As opposed to, can you control this vehicle absolutely perfectly? So children who have a flair for creativity, who in the past maybe were told, listen, forget about the silly little music industry game and forget about writing silly stories and all those sort of things where we tended to say, you need a serious job. You need to do law or medicine or, manufacturing and all
that. Get
a real job. Well, it's the real jobs that are the ones that are likely to say, hey, machines are actually better than that. And it's these sort of wistful, how will you think and reimagine something that's possibly going to give you an
answer? So how does a game then, like Minecraft, shape our brains differently so that to prepare us for this future? Does it have a physiological impact? Do we know?
I haven't seen any studies that suggest it'll go that far. However, if you have an aptitude and you find a child... I saw a beautiful post on Facebook the other day about a four-year-old who was using Minecraft. And there's a thing in Minecraft called Redstone. It allows you to make circuits, and someone's actually built a computer inside the game. And what this four-year-old had done, because they were sharing, as you were saying, can I play on your phone? They were sharing space on the phone. And the older brother, when he was playing, would build his beautiful house. And the younger brother would go along, dig a hole underneath the house, put in some dynamite, and connect a little circuit. So when he opened the door to his house, it would blow up. And he would be very upset about this. And the parents were sort of like, why are you getting so upset about these things? Now, when a four-year-old is busy creating sophisticated circuits for some future event to take place, I would say there is a child who should be given more room to explore this stuff, who could potentially turn into an
industry. Or a child who should have his computer taken away.
Well, there is that too, and you never can tell if it's going to be very, very good or it's going to be very, very bad. So there's the education element. There's the elements for just checking out people's aptitudes. There's an ability to make it a lot more engaging, test your own things, get community involvement. There's all these good things. And that takes us to sort of a broader layer now for the economic simulation. And I'm going to give you the challenge of playing one called Lemonade Tycoon.
How long is it going to take me to play Lemonade Tycoon? Because firstly, I've got to figure out how to switch the computer on. And then I've got to play this game. How long before I'm allowed to stop?
Well, like real business, it might be slow at first, but it ends very quickly. You run out of money and the game's over. And if you spend your money unwisely, it ends even quicker.
So this is like Monopoly, but on a computer.
It is so much better. So I'll give you Lemonade Tycoon's basis. It's that where are you going to sell your lemonade? And you start outside your house because it's free. And they say, well, there's not that many people outside your house. Okay, well, you'll manage that. So how much inventory are you going to buy? Now, your lemons will go off, and certainly your ice will melt, and you need some sugar. So that sticks around, and your cups stick around. If you don't buy enough cups or enough ice, people don't, you know, you can't sell them that cup of lemonade. You buy too much, and your ice melts, and you've just wasted your money on ice that you shouldn't have wanted. So you got your recipe, and they give you the weather report to tell you what the next day is going to be like, the location that you set it up, and your price point. Now, if you're outside the front of your house, can't charge a lot. If you're offered a big baseball game, you can charge a lot more. But to be at the baseball game, you've got to pay a lot for your venue. And all the dynamics of regular business is represented in a complete cartoon kind of way in a game. And all children have to get is inputs, outputs, and the variations that come from willingness to buy, you know, supply, demand. All these concepts are beautifully emulated in the game.
But this strikes me as something, it's a bit like a 5-day cricket test. It's not a 20-20 game.
You can play it over different lens. You can say, how much money could you make over a set period of time? Or can you reach a certain level? Or just play open.
What is going to be the purpose of my playing this game?
Well, for you to see yourself, one, does it have some merit? I would go so far as to say, you know, when we have municipal elections, there's one called SimCity. I'd like to see all of our municipal candidates give their SimCity scores, because this is where you have to run a city, literally. You've got to decide where you're going to put residential areas and commercial areas, who you're going to give license to, how you're going to manage crime and energy provision and all of these good things. And when somebody says, well, I've got a very high SimCity score, you can say, well, you at least understand the concepts that go into running a city.
I think what would be good about that is it would stop politicians from getting up to all kinds of other activities. So you keep them very busy and distract them. That's a useful, that's a good use for this game. I accept your challenge. We just have to find a place where we can load it. And do I have to be online all the time? Can I play? Okay, I can't play offline. So
you can play offline. I mean, this is not an online game. This is the other thing I need to say, and it's a bit of a pity, because these economic simulation games seem to have fallen a bit out of favor. Their heyday was in the 2000s, and they've become a little less sort of popular. And again, I'm raising this not just because it's a thing. The invitation is really to existing businesses. You got some projects, you're in a recession, you really got to sharpen your pencils. Have some of your teams look to do this stuff. See who are the people who are going to excel at planning, at design, at problem solving, or potentially at how to collaborate with other people. Because a lot of these things have got an element of competition, and you'll find the sort of, let me use the horrible stereotype, the sales guys wanted to bash someone's head in and be competitive, where somebody else is like, hang on, we need to make this all work together. And again, you know what? These are games. There's only so much they can do. But in a very uncertain future for your child and for your business, any little edge you can give yourself is worth exploring.
I'm looking forward to playing, what's it called?
Lemonade Tycoon.
Lemonade Tycoon. I want to be the Lemonade Tycoon. I want to be the biggest lemonade seller in the world. I want to be the best, greatest lemonade seller in the world. And I bet you I'll be bust within an afternoon. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual on a Wednesday night.